Reading comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And you, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Thank you very much, Jen. Well, good morning. It's lovely to be back. My name's Kate, and I'm one of the associate vicars here alongside Nigel. And I haven't been here for just over a month because I've had the joy and the privilege of taking some time off on sabbatical. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit as we think about prayer this morning. But before I speak, let's ask God to speak to us. God, thank you that you are here. Thank you that you hear our words, you hear our thoughts, and you hear our hearts. And I pray this morning that as we think about how we talk to you and listen to you, that you would draw us closer and closer in our relationship. Amen. So the title was, How and Why Should We Pray? But I want to do it the other way around. I want to think first of all about why should we pray? And then maybe think a little bit about how we pray. And in between that, I want to talk a little bit about what I've learned over the last 5 weeks. Well, I believe that prayer is one of the most natural things in human experience. From when we're tiny babies, we learn that we can cry out to somebody beyond ourselves. We learn that we're not alone, that as children we rely on parents and we cry out to our parents to provide all that we need. We don't know what we need when we're tiny. We don't know that our nappy needs changing or that we're hungry or that we've got wind trapped in our tummy and we need someone to help us get that out. We have no idea. We just know that something's not quite right and we need someone to help us. Now, I think that's actually the first prayer. Most religions, in fact, I think all religions, but I haven't completely checked, involve prayer in one way or another. There's an expectation that we are going to cry out to the one who we believe has created us. In some religions, that's very formal. In some religions, that's just silence. I believe that God hears every prayer, whether people know that they're praying or not. I think every time our hearts or our mouths or our minds cry out, that God hears. Jesus said, when you pray. He didn't say if you want to pray. He said, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. Lots of people pray in a crisis, don't they? So I think that's the first thing. It's fundamental to who we are and how we can live. So why do we call out? Well, I think we're looking for peace, for reassurance, for rescue, for answers sometimes to those big questions. For Christians, it's not an option to pray or not to pray. It's essential. Because it's the way that we build our relationship with God. In prayer, we open ourselves up to God. Wherever we are, whatever we're facing, we're inviting him to come into our situation. Often we're longing that he will change it. And sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't. But I'm convinced that prayer opens a door that invites him in, that can make us aware of his presence with us and his provision for us. So prayer is natural. Prayer is personal. We have different conversations at different times. I don't know if you've ever made a 999 call. It's a slightly stressful thing to do. I think I've only done it once or twice. But it's a very precise conversation that you have with the people on the other end of the phone. They want to know who you are, where you are, what's going on, and what's the help that you need. So it's a conversation, but it's very directed and very to the point. And it isn't part of a relationship. The person on the other end of the phone doesn't tell you what their name is and what their pets are and where they are and what sort of day they're having. You don't get to know anything about them. And I think for some people, prayer is like that. They are shouting out a request to God, but they're not going to get to know him very well by doing that. We have conversations with colleagues, or perhaps with people in shops or at the doctor, and all of those are transactional in some way. They're because there is a task to be achieved or a problem to be solved. And so we have a conversation that might be two-way, but is limited in its scope, what it's about. And sometimes we approach prayer a bit like that. We've got something particular in mind and we need a solution for it. And it may be that we get a glimpse of the other person and what they're like and what they can do for us. But it doesn't go beyond that scope. I thought about the conversations I've had with my children over the years. When they were very little, those were quite intentional conversations too. I wanted them to learn something. I wanted them to grow in some way. So when they asked me a question, I wouldn't just say yes or no. I would give them an explanation of why they could or couldn't do what they wanted, why I would or I wouldn't help them, because it would be good for them or it wouldn't be good for them. I think perhaps that's getting a little bit closer to prayer. We have a Heavenly Father who wants us to grow in relationship with him and into the people that he is calling us to be. And then there are those conversations between husbands and wives. Conversations that, I'm thinking of the positive ones here, people, that don't always have a beginning and don't always have an end. They're just, you live with the person and you go through the day and you go back to things that you talked about before. And if you're lucky, you have a husband who gives you the context for what he's about to say, rather than starts halfway through the sentence and expects you to remember where it was and what we were talking about. But I think as we grow more intimately involved with God, our conversations can be like that. There's less beginnings and endings. It's a natural flow. We talk and we hear. So prayer is very personal. It's about our own character, our vocabulary, our background, the context in which we find ourselves. There isn't a right way and a wrong way to pray. If you're just beginning to hear and to think about prayer, if you're an alpha and you're stepping into this experience, then I want you to hear that. There is no right and wrong. It's about you and God. Jesus said to his disciples and his followers, go into your room, shut the door. Prayer is not a performance. It doesn't have to be done in public. I think it might be a rehearsal sometimes, even if it's not a performance. The number of times I've spent time with God and worked out what I'm going to do about something, almost worked it through in my head like a rehearsal. So it's not a performance, but it might be a rehearsal. Prayer is the only conversation that's really possible without words. The number of times I haven't known what to say, and I've just groaned or shouted or cried, and it's still prayer, because God knows what it is that I need to say, what I'm trying to express. My own experience of prayer started as a very, very small child when I used to pray for blue eyes. I've got very brown eyes. You might not be able to see them from here, but I would go, God, if you're there, give me blue eyes, because then I'll know that you're there. That was my first kind of cry in faith, and I still have brown eyes. It didn't work. So it wasn't a bargain. Didn't work. I tried that, you know, if you give me blue eyes, I'll do whatever you like. Nope. I think I tried a lot of prayer looking for God to intervene or manipulate situations where something wasn't quite how I wanted it to be. I would ask God to change it so that it was how I wanted it to be. And some of those things were good things to ask for. If someone else was suffering, then it's fine. We want God to change those situations. Some of them weren't so good, where I wanted other people to change so that I didn't have to. Lord, make me thin is a constant prayer. He's not answering that one at the moment. But when I think about it, it's because I know I need to be involved in it. Rats. I've prayed with people a lot. I love praying with people. I love sitting with them and wondering what God might be saying to them and listening for them. I love being able to reassure people that whatever they're facing, God is there. And as we pray, there's a sense of peace and of his presence. People often cry when I pray with them. I feel I should come with a warning. I like praying liturgy. Prayers that other people have written. Prayers that have been used for centuries and centuries. When we meet in this building, it's a place that has been filled with prayer. If you go and visit the Heath Church, when we were interviewing Nigel and other people for his job, I had the privilege of showing them around the Heath Church. And every one of them, I think, said as they walked in, this is a place that's prayed in. There is something about it when people pray in a place. So we feel it when we come here. But I want to encourage you that people can feel that when they walk into your house too. If it's a place of prayer, let's make the places we live and work places where God is frequently called upon and invited to be present. I've had other experiences of prayer. Over the last year or so, I've had an awful lot of experiences of silent prayer. And not of my silence, but of God's silence. And of longing to hear what it is that he wanted to say. And of feeling that he wasn't replying. Not that he wasn't there, but that he just wasn't answering. So I've had 5 weeks off. Some sabbatical time and some holiday. I spent a lot of time walking in the country or around gardens, talking to, shouting at, laughing with, and complaining to God. I've asked him lots of questions. I've kept a journal. My goodness, there are so many questions. I've felt frustrated at times. I've felt angry. I've felt sad when he hasn't responded in the way that I wanted him to. It isn't easy trying to hear him speak. At the beginning, I kept saying, God, please, will you just speak in a way that I can hear? And it didn't feel like he did. I've been on an absolute roller coaster of emotions. I've really enjoyed slowing down and literally smelling the roses. I've felt broken at times when I've heard of some really tragic deaths and losses. I've been confident of God's goodness and his faithfulness. And I've been really depressed by my lack of faith and my lack of clarity. And I've wondered a lot how we cope with so much uncertainty and how we keep hope alive when we feel lost. So I've prayed and I've written things down because that's all I can do. Not because I think it's a lever to change things, but because it's helped to bring me closer to God and to keep going. So how do we pray? Very briefly. Well, start where you are, wherever you are. That's the only place you can start from. Be honest. God knows you and he loves you. I've been very honest with him over my sabbatical. I've been very cross with him. But he hasn't turned his back. Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer. And I don't think, when we look at it, that we find it to be something that brings requests. I think when we look at it, we see that it actually brings God to where we are. It acknowledges our experience as it is. So it starts, doesn't it, with our Father in heaven. Our Father is the one who creates us. Our life is because of him. Hallowed be your name. It's acknowledging that God is holy, that he is above us and beyond us. We are never going to understand him fully. Your kingdom come. We're looking at the big picture, the huge picture. The creator who longs to enter every life for his kingdom rule to come. Your will be done. That's bringing it closer towards ourselves. May the decisions that I make in my life follow your will. Talks about daily bread, forgiveness. We are dependent on God for everything, spiritual, physical. And then we ask God to lead us and deliver us from evil, to give us direction. So the Lord's Prayer makes the context for us. It brings us into God's presence and brings him into our lives. How do we do that? We make time. We need to allow ourselves time to fall in love with God. And we need to be patient. We need to grow the habit of prayer. We can use the Lord's Prayer through the day. There are things like Lectio 365, the 24/7 prayer app, which is great. That helps us to develop a habit. We can say grace at mealtimes, thanksgiving at bedtime, looking back over the day and just thanking God for three or four things that you notice that he's done. And we can start each morning with that great phrase, "Good morning, God. What are we going to do together today?" It's simple. It's natural. Notice what happens and keep going. The most powerful prayer, I think, that I found that Jesus prayed was the one at the very end of his life. In Mark 14, verse 36, we read Jesus saying, let me find it. Mark 14, 36. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you." So acknowledging who God is. take this cup from me. He's being honest that he doesn't want to face the cross. He doesn't want to suffer. He's telling God how it is. But then he says this, yet not what I will, but what you will. Everything is possible, Abba Father. I don't want to do this, but I want to follow what you want in my life. Prayer is a mystery. It's not a slot machine. It's not a bargaining tool. It's not a transaction. It's not true that if I pray hard enough for something, it will happen. God already knows and cares about the situations that we bring to him. We're not twisting his arm. We're not saying, God, I think you might not have noticed that this person is suffering. He already knows. He cares more than we do, and he cares enough to have given his life in Jesus. So I think that I have concluded that faith grows most when it's not conditional. God shows us unconditional love in Jesus, in his death, in his invitation to us, in his resurrection, and his gift of the Holy Spirit, and the resources we need to live our lives. And our relationships in prayer will grow most with him when we are honest, but when it's not conditional upon the results of our prayers. It's a wonderful mystery, but it's a mystery that we're invited to explore, and I would love to encourage you to do that yourself.